Well, we live in union with Jesus' passion in really four specific ways that we focus on in Lent. Greater focus on, number one, prayer. Number two, penance and mortifications. Number three, fasting. And number four, almsgiving. Those are really the four points of Lent that we're trying to get better at. So let's just take a little bit of a closer look at each one of these. First of all, prayer. So on Ash Wednesday, what were we told when the ashes were placed on our forehead? We are dust, and unto dust we shall return. So that reminds us that the world that we live in, it's not the definitive one. Any happiness, anything good in this world, even if it is a good gift from God, it's not definitive. So only what's in the unseen world is eternal. So that means we've got to purify ourselves of these worldly desires for, you know, things like fame. You say, well, I don't want fame. Well, I don't know. Think about it. Are you concerned about your social media followers? You know, how many likes you're getting? Well, you're concerned about fame then, you know, of some sort, even among your friends. By the way, most people know where the ashes come from on Ash Wednesday. Well, they come from the burning of the palms from the previous year's Palm Sunday. So there's a priest named Father Tim Grumbach. I think he's been a guest on Relevant Radio on a couple of different programs, but he had a tweet that I thought was really, really powerful. He said this: on Ash Wednesday, we cover our faces in the ashes of burnt palms, which were used to welcome Jesus as king into Jerusalem. The world can keep its earthly desire for power and fame. We will burn that desire and wear it on our faces because we are made for so much more. End of quote. I thought that was an incredible, incredible tweet. This idea that, yes, on Palm Sunday, they were waving the branches. Yes, we love you, Jesus. Well, where were they when he was being crucified, right? So, yes, the glory, the earthly glory, it's very, very fleeting, but the applause of heaven, the applause of one, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that's what we're looking for. Okay, that's the approval we're looking for. That's why Father Tim said the world can keep its earthly desire for power and fame. We will burn that desire, just like the palms were burned, and we'll wear it on our faces because we're made for so much more. Wow, that's a great quote. So even the noble things of this world, it's not going to last. Even our loved ones will pass away. They'll move away. They're not always there. And we won't be either. We're not going to live forever either. So when we pray, when we focus more on prayer during Lent, we're going to connect more to this more permanent world, this unseen world, the eternal things that St. Paul was talking about. So Jesus said this: when you do pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray in secret, and your Father who is in secret will reward you. That's, of course, in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. So what does it mean to go into your room and shut the door? It doesn't necessarily always mean to go into your physical bedroom, shut the door. Okay, maybe that's where you pray every day. That's fine. But really, it's all about eliminating outside distractions, eliminating what one person called the peripheral opponents. I don't know if you guys are basketball fans, but Pat Riley, he's now an executive with the Miami Heat, but for many, many years, he was the famous coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, especially during the 1980s Showtime years with Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Michael Cooper, James Worthy, all those guys. And there's a new TV series, you might have seen it on HBO, called Winning Time, which is based on a book on the Showtime era by Jeff Perlman. So I read that book, and one of the things that it said about Coach Pat Riley, who was always so smooth, he was always wearing, you know, very nice suits, very GQ, very, very handsome guy. And he wanted people to know that too. But he used to tell the team all the time, especially during the playoffs, he used to tell the Lakers, you've got to beware of peripheral opponents. Yeah, we're playing the Celtics. They are your opponent, but they're also peripheral opponents. Endorsement opportunities, groupies, you know, all kinds of distractions. He called them peripheral opponents, people, hangers-on, friends who want tickets, whatever. You've got to eliminate all that and focus on your real opponent. And that's what we have to do in Lent as well. We've got to eliminate the peripheral opponents and focus on beating sin, right? We do that through prayer, and we've got to get rid of peripheral distractions to pray as well. And that's what Jesus really means when he says, go into your room, shut the door, pray in secret. So shutting the door is eliminating those distractions. So try to find a good environment to pray. I think that's important, to make it quality time with God, right? If you're married, you don't consider it quality time. Your spouse probably doesn't consider it quality time if you're sitting together, but your husband's watching a show and you're on your phone, scrolling some mindless Pinterest site or something. Okay, well, yes, technically you're spending time together, but you're really not. You're really not spending quality time. You're just in the same room. So that's what we have to do with God. We've got to really focus in on listen to the conversation. So that's important. So that's number one. The second thing we do in Lent is penance. Higher focus on penance, mortifications. That's really kind of a way of living with Jesus on the cross. What he did for us, we try to do for others. If we're not offering up any kind of penance for ourselves, we can offer it up for others who are far from God, just like Jesus did on the cross, right? That reached through time, through the ages, to millions, billions of us. So that's how we share in the mission of the Redeemer. We help Jesus in his mission to save people, to bring them to God. So that's one of the reasons why we do penances. And also, it's a way of fighting against, here's a $5 word, concupiscence. This is this tendency towards sin that we have even after we're baptized. It's kind of the after effects of original sin. So we have disordered passions. We need to mortify those passions, which are created by God. They're good, but they're often disordered, right? The devil can't create anything. So what he tries to do is take the good things that God has created, and that includes our passions, and redirect them to a bad end or at a bad time. So that's what we've got to do. And that's where this whole concept of mortifications come in. That's why St. Paul wrote to the Colossians. He says, put to death. There's the mortification. It means death. Mort means death in French. More. Put to death whatever is earthly in you. Immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you once walked when you lived in them. But he says, now you've got to put away all these things. You've got to put away all these things because you're being recreated in the image of the new man, in the image of Christ. And that's what we've got to do this Lent. So we'll have much more on this after the break. We're going to take another quick break here on the Cale Clark Show. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. And you can call in to talk to me for free, and I'll be back right after this.
Explaining the Catholic faith and how you can live it and share it too. It's the Cale Clark Show. Have a question? Give Cale a call at 888-914-9149.
Okay, we're trying to live Lent better, but as I promised, I'm going to get to the rejected headlines from the Babylon Bee. They're pretty funny. We're going to have a laugh at the end of the program, so stay tuned for that. But if you want to call in, 888-914-9149. So we're trying to talk about living Lent better in four specific ways. A greater focus on prayer, penance, and mortifications. Fasting is the third thing, and almsgiving. So this is all about, again, converting, becoming more like Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And when St. Paul talked about becoming the new man, he said this in Colossians chapter 3. I was quoting this before the break. He talked about, sinful behaviors in which, the people he was writing to used to live in. He said, in these you once walked when you lived in them, but now put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, foul talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you put off the old man with his practices and have put on the new man, who is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of his creator. So the new man, of course, is we're putting on Christ. And that's why when we baptize people at the Easter Vigil, we make them wear this robe, this pure white robe, which is symbolic of putting on Christ. So, and really, the new man, the new woman, it's just a restoration of what should have been there in the first place. It's almost like in the Sistine Chapel, if you've ever been there in the Vatican, there was this huge restoration project that happened a few years ago where just centuries of grime and dirt and dust were wiped away. So the original glory of the Michelangelo works could be seen as they were intended to be. And everyone was like, wow, the colors, it's so incredible. So it's really becoming a saint is like becoming the original version that God had intended for you. Not a cookie cutter, not a strange, like a Ned Flanders type of Christian, but still you with your unique personality, but just, without the sin. All right. And that, trust me, you'll be more, a better version of you. You're going to be more you the closer you get to Jesus than without Jesus. And that's another thing people are afraid of in Lent or just in the Catholic life in general. If I get too close to Jesus, I'll lose myself. No, you're going to find yourself. You're going to be more yourself. So it's the best version of you. And that's the dream God has for all of us from all eternity, that we've become a saint. That's what becoming a saint is. I often think about parents who are concerned about the letters after their kids' names. You know, one day, oh, you know, I hope my son becomes an MD or my daughter gets a PhD. Well, God the Father dreams about the letters that he wants to come before your name, not after your name. ST, right? St. Joe or St. Kevin or whatever the case might be. The best version of yourself. So we're going to talk more about God the Father, by the way, on tomorrow's episode of The Faith Explained, because the gospel reading for tomorrow is the Lord's Prayer. We're going to talk about the Our Father and what that's all about. So tune in for that, 12:30 Central on Relevant Radio. So the third thing is fasting, obviously. And a really good example of this, I'm not going to read it right now, but look up Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son. Now, we all know this illustration that Jesus used, the story that he told. We know it so well. And I think what strikes me about the prodigal son is he was so busy enjoying the pleasures of this world that he never really reflected on the purpose of his life and where it was all going. It was only when he lost everything and became, what's interesting, and this is how it ties into fasting, when he became hungry, that's when he began to experience a longing for the Father's home. And that's what happens to us when we fast, right? Like just like the prodigal son, he's hired himself out. It's a non-kosher situation. He's feeding the pigs. That's not cool. And he wants to eat. He's longing for even the pig food, and he doesn't even get that. So he's starving. And when we fast, we realize the truth of what Jesus said to the devil when the devil was trying to tempt him in the wilderness. Man does not live, or woman does not live, on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So that's what our fasting should do for us. Point us to that truth. So Pope Francis is always talking about fake fasting. Don't do any fake fasting. So you can go through the motions just as you can with your prayer, just like with the rosary. You've got to have reflection. You've got to create some space for that interior silence. So don't just fast and just try to get through the day and busy yourself with other things. Like try to actually pray and think about the Word of God. And St. Leo the Great once said this. There's a quote from Pope St. Leo the Great. He said, quote, "The merit of fasts does not consist merely in abstaining from food. There's no use in depriving the body of nourishment if the soul does not fast from iniquity." Ooh, I like that. "And the tongue does not stop feasting on evil." So that's a fake fast, right? Yeah, you're not eating, but you're still involved in iniquity. You're gossiping. You're doing this. You're doing that. So fast from that. Fast from unjust criticism. Fast from your evil deeds. Fast from gossip. That all of these things are going to deprive us of the life of the Spirit, which is going to make you much, much happier. And finally, the last thing is almsgiving. So we want to focus not so much on, I mean, obviously there's the giving of monetary resources. There's the giving of our talents, but there's also our time. And these are the three things we have stewardship over. And we did a thing on the Faith Explained program about stewardship, time, talent, and treasure. That's what we have control over. And Pope Gregory the Great, he said that, okay, let's just focus on the time thing for a second. Pope Gregory the Great, he said that Lent is our tithe of time to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because think about it. A year has 365 days, 40 days, and I know Lent is not exactly 40 days, but 40 days out of 365 days is about 10.9% of the time, all right? So if tithing is giving 10%, and that's not necessarily a hard and fast rule, but Lent is kind of the tithe of the year's time, if that makes sense. For all you accountants out there, it's 10.9%. So what you really want to do in life, you always make time for, whether it's your favorite TV show or activities that you want to do, playing golf or whatever the case may be, you do it. You make time for it. And the same has to be true with God. We've got to have that tithe of time. We've got to have a slice of time that we give just for God. And that might involve focusing more time on prayer or daily mass or praying your rosary or reading the New Testament or making that appointment right now for spiritual direction, taking some time with that. Giving time to others, listening to them, understanding them. So that's often much more difficult, the spiritual almsgiving of time. Sometimes it's harder than the financial giving a few bucks, right? That sometimes you don't even feel the pinch there. The time factor is often what people are, I'm really, really jealous and guarding of my time. So that's what we have to do. That's what we've got to do. A little spiritual almsgiving of time as well. So that's what, and Mary will help us. Mary will help us, right? Mary has a lot of children, right? But for you, all you need to think about is that the two children. She has her son, Jesus, and you. And she wants her two children, you and Jesus, to be able to get in touch with one another. She wants to facilitate that through her prayer, through her intercession, get to know each other. So wants the kids to spend time together. So her divine son and you, face to face. That's what you got to do this Lent. All right, so that's just a little brief rundown of some ways I was thinking about that we can live Lent a little bit better, make this Lent the best Lent ever.